I'm going to jump all over. I'm a person who likes going verse to verse. I won't stay in the book of Matthew a lot. But the verse I'll concentrate is going to be verse 16, and then that's where we're going to start jumping around. But as we looked at it, and we went through different religions. I've been going through religions with the teens, and we went through different religions, religion class, Sunday school, they're in the adult class today. As the 15-year-old boy John Smith saw, he saw all the disputes, he saw all the things going on that no one could agree on anything. They were all the different religions. They weren't agreeing. He didn't know which one was the right religion. And he has a revelation of his own. He starts his own religion, which was Mormons. He started the Mormons. And it's just amazing. Sometimes Christians, as we look at this verse, and we'll look at 16 here in a second, a lot of people can unite together, even different things. But Christians, for some reason, we can't unite together as Christians. I have some different things that we go through. Christians, we hold grudges. We tell people that we're forgivable. We forgive them. But as soon as something like that happens again, remember you just did that to me back here, or you didn't really forgive it, or you still hold the grudge. You just don't want to hear from them anymore. We hold grudges. Just like we're in a sinful state. We got our sin thing. God tells us to forgive one another, even as Christ's sake has forgiven us. We're just sinners, and we hold those grudges, and we're told to forgive them. We're told to do that, but sometimes, as I've been going through some of the different religions, and I think we went through Scientology last week with the teens, and we went through Judaism and that, some of us just think that we're a lot better Christians than the other Christians. Oh, I've been saved longer. I know more than that person there. He's doing that wrong, and I'm saved, and he's not going to help me out because he's not experienced enough to help me out. He's not experienced enough Christian. Or we go through different things, and we better ourselves or worse than other people, whatever it might be. I know when I first got saved, Pastor Mason, he was my discipler, and then in Sunday school, we'd have these Bible drills, and I was finding him. I mean, he was discipling, and I was finding him, and I wouldn't stand up. I stood up for one, but I wouldn't stand up for the rest of them. And I was finding them before everybody else. I didn't want everybody to just think I was a show-off. But Pastor, from the pulpit, said that you found it, you stand up. He wanted everybody to see how studying the Scripture and how studying the different things would help other people. And it wasn't that I was trying to show off and be, I'm just a young Christian. I didn't want to show any older Christians up, and that was my thought about it. That's the same in the workforce. I mean, when I came into work, when I met Michelle and we wanted to move up to her area, I went job hunting because her dad was ill in health of his heart. He just had a quadruple, right? A bypass. So she wanted to be next to him. So we moved up that way. Within 6 months, I worked at the place for 6 months. And within 6 months, they wanted me to be a team leader. You don't know how much slack I got from that because I'm a young whippersnapper and I'm a team leading people. I've been in this place for a while and I know nothing and people didn't want to listen to me. And there was a division there, and then finally people started realizing that I was a good leader. I did the jobs. We would have fun. I would jump on a job with them, and I'd race against them. Different things. They knew I had the knowledge for it, so I started lighting up. Same thing with Brianna. She got become a charge nurse on a floor, and she's 23 years old. And she's got 40-year-old men who have been nursing longer than she has, and she can't add anything to the table they don't already know. And sometimes as Christians, we do the same thing. We belittle other people. Or I've been saved longer. I'm a super Christian, or maybe a different thing. So we don't unite together like we should unite together. And for a common cause of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just want to get even. I'll get even with that person after what they did to me. I'll get even. And at other times we say it's easier for God because He is holy. He can forgive because He's a holy person. It's just easier for Him. I can't because I'm a sinner. I can't do that. I think, like we said, we think that we're better things. We look at the world. They unite even if they have differences of opinion. A couple examples I used before is they united in wars. We have different countries when the world wars come in. They had different opinions about different things, but united for a cause. 9/11, more recently for the 9/11, look how there was nothing dividing anybody. Everybody was astounded because America was under attack, and they united together. But sometimes as Christians, we can't unite or we can't stay united because someone made us mad. We do have a common purpose, and we should unite strong for it. Our purpose is Jesus Christ. And we need to honor Jesus Christ. We need to lead people to Jesus Christ. We need to show them Jesus Christ. And people, if we can't smile and be happy as being saved and have humor while we're saved, people don't want to come because they don't want a bah humbug, another place to go, because I'm already bah humbugging in my corner in my room. So I don't. There's no enthusiasm there, and we have to, as Christians, show enthusiasm. Show there's no fighting amongst Christians. We should be reading the same book. We should be studying out of the same book, the Bible. We should be doing the things that God tells us to do, but sometimes it's just not that way, and we mislead people, or they see that this Christian can't get along with this person can't get along with this person, why do I even want to come to that church? So as we look at it, and we're going to look through, and when I concentrate on Matthew 16 here, we're going to go through and see how even the world with different opinions and different things, if they have a cause, they'll unite together of differences. When we have something in common, Jesus Christ, we can't unite together to get that message out. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time you've given us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to be here at your house, Lord. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you for saving us, Lord. I pray if there's one that's not saved, Lord, they come to know you as Savior before they leave this building today, Lord. What a joyous time that is. What a rejoicing time that is, Lord. I pray, Lord, just watch over, guide, protect us. I pray that you give us the words that you'd have us have me speak, Lord. I pray that hearts and minds will be open to hear that word. In Jesus' name, amen. So just starting off a verse, an introduction. We're in Matthew, but we are one body. And the Bible tells us that we're one body. If we went to Romans 12:4-5, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." So this church body, we're all different members, tall, short, old, young, older than dirt. So we're all members of the church. But we all have different hobbies. We all have different things we do. We all have different things that interest us. But as a body of believers, we're supposed to unite together for the common cause of Jesus Christ. And that sometimes that just doesn't happen. Sometimes we just we'd rather eat dirt, or we'd rather eat those worms than be with that person or be with that person. So as we look at Matthew 22, as we read through that again, it says, verse 15, it says, and when the Pharisees, it says, then when went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So in verse 15, we see, as we're looking there, they took counsel. And this isn't the only time they took counsel. If we go back just in the chapter 11, back in 45 and 46, it says, "And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet." So as we look at that, as we see that they were taking counsel, look, the Pharisees saw that they couldn't do it alone back in 45 and 46 because they feared the multitude. There was a big multitude of people there. Why am I going to risk my life to go and take Jesus here? So later on, they take counsel again of how we might entangle him in his speech. So now they're trying to catch him in a lie. They go through, and the teens and us, we're going through the life of Christ on Wednesday nights, and my glasses are fogging up from the steam. We go through the life of Christ, and we just went through this. And then if we go through chapter 22, the Pharisees start the questioning. Then you have Sadducees come and try to question him. Then you have the lawyers come and try to question him. They're all trying to trip Jesus up. And if one can't do it, another one's going to do it, another one's going to do it, another one's going to do it, and until they trip him up. Sometimes that's In interrogations, when the police interrogate anything, they keep questioning the people with the same questions, hoping to trip somebody up. Maybe their flaw in their story, flaw in different things. So they ask the same questions, and then they ask the same questions in a different way, but it's still the same question. And that's like when we do job interviews now. They do that psyche eval they do online, or if you apply online or that. They ask you questions, but they keep repeating the questions later down the paper just to see if you change or your answers change, or see if you're a good fit with the thing. And sometimes it takes a completely different turn. You might click something wrong. You might do the one-on-one interviews I love because you can express yourself, but they're just seeing paper. They're just seeing what you answer sometimes. And sometimes you get called, sometimes you don't, by the way you answer the questions. So as we look at this, the Pharisees, they plan out, their purpose was to catch Jesus lying. They wanted Jesus gone. They sought his life back in verse 46. They didn't want Jesus here. He was a threat to them. And as they look at this, they take counsel. Now, there's another party here, and this is where we get into verse 16. It says, "And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men." So first thing is, the Pharisees don't even go themselves. They send their disciples. They send their servants, their disciples, the ones that to go question Jesus. And then they go with a different group of people, the Herodians, and we're going to get into that a little bit, what they believed in different things. So they take the Herodians with them. And then the third thing on top of this, they butter him up. "We know you're the Lord. We know that you tell all the truth. We know you're the true one, but we're going to ask you some questions," knowing that they're going to try to trick him, trying to do different things. They try to throw somebody off, thinking a different way. But the Herodians, they're a political party back then, supporting King Herod and Antipas. He was the ruler over much of the land of the Jews from 4 BC to 39 AD. So he ruled Rome. Rome was taking this country. They're the Roman Empire. They had control over this. Antipas was a part of this. They were the political party that supported Herod. He ruled over the lands. And this compromised the Jewish independence. So the Jews just never seemed to be independent of anybody. They always seemed to get themselves caught up because they wouldn't follow the word of God. We see the wilderness wanderings. We see them back in Egypt in the day. We see them under different split into different tribes. And now they're held by the Romans because they're captive, because they can't, they weren't following God, and letting God rule them. So they're always in under submission to somebody. Well, the Romans had them in submission now. The Romans, the government had them under submission to them, and they had to do what the Roman government wanted. But the Roman government allowed them to practice their religion and different things, but they still had control. Now the Pharisees, the Pharisees are Jewish leaders, so they're the leaders of the Jews. They're strict observance of the traditional and written laws. Their name is derived from ancient Greek from Aramaic, meaning set apart or separated. So they really made that clear when they ruled the Jews, didn't they? That they were above everybody else. And that's where I come back to sometimes as Christians. We're told to be set apart, but not set apart from each other. We should be set at a common goal. The Pharisees did set themselves apart. They ruled and started adding rules to the rules to make it even stricter. They were even oppressing their own people. And as the Pharisees look at it, they were the leaders. They were set apart. Pharisees and the Herodians, they didn't have anything in common. It was difficult to agree on anything. But look, here in verse 16, they united for a common cause. And their common cause was the same as our common cause. It was just a little different. It was Jesus Christ. They wanted to get rid of him. We don't want to get rid of Jesus. We want to exclaim him. So their common cause was Jesus Christ. They wanted to get rid of Jesus because he was threatening Herod's rule. He was threatening the Pharisees' rule. He was threatening all these rules. And they wanted to be king. The Pharisees wanted to rule the Jews. The king was going to rule. And they thought Jesus was going to be the king of the land, not understanding of the spiritual realm here. So they come out, and so they unite. One common goal. They had this one common goal. So we're going to go through a few verses. We're going to bump around here. But if you turn to Luke chapter 13, just to show their desire. I mean, when we have a desire to do something, we're going to do it. If we're half-heartedly doing a thing, we might not do it, we might not, we might wait, we might do it, we might. But if you're dedicated to something, you're going to do it. And the Pharisees, we're going to see their dedication towards Jesus. Let me see, Luke chapter 13, 31, 12. It says, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee." So the Pharisees come through, saying that Herod, they're trying to be like a friend here, saying that Herod's going to kill thee, get thee out, depart from the hence, for Herod will kill thee. Jesus' life was threatened so many times as a leader, and he just took it with a grain of salt. Luke, let's go ahead, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. So we have that part in here, and then chapter 11, we're going to read us some verses back. I had one verse, but I got to lead up to that. In verse 47, so this is why the Pharisees are after Jesus. It says, then they gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees, a council, in verse 47, John 11, verse 47, starting there. They gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees, a council, and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So right there, it's already starting that if we let this happen, they're going to take away everything from us. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. When something threatens them, threatens someone's life, we can find ways to unite. And as we look here, the Pharisees, this is a big threat to them. The Roman government, Jesus was a big threat to them. Nothing in common. The Romans were suppressing the Jews. The Pharisees were suppressing the Jews. Nothing in common. They had their own goal. They had their own agendas. But if we were to let Jesus keep doing what he's going to do, he's going to take our kingdom from us. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And then on Mark 3:6, this wasn't the first time that the Herodians and that got together with the Pharisees, but Mark 3:6. He said, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So now we got to get numbers. We can't do it alone. They've already said they couldn't do it alone because the multitudes are around him. We're going to do this. So we're going to get numbers. We're going to get the Herodians on our side. We're going to let them know it's going to be beneficial to them. They're going to be able to, we're going to do this, and they're going to negotiate all these things. The Pharisees are going to say that, We're going to still give you control, but we need to get Jesus out here because he's going to take it from us, but he's also going to take it from you. So all these lies, all these things going around, but they join together for that common cause. He threatens their rule. The Herodians believed Herod as a Messiah. They believed Herod was their Messiah and Savior, who would put the Jewish land in favor with the Roman Empire. They believed that Herod was going to be the Savior of the Romans, and he was going to take the Jews and put them in line with their religion and take over the whole thing. So now that's where they're stuck at. Now they've got a common goal. Our rule is going to be taken away from us. We don't agree with you. You don't agree with us. We want to rule over you. We want to do all this other different stuff. But now we got to join together. We got to join forces. So the Herodians and the Jews, the Pharisees joined forces to go after Jesus. As a reason for Christians, they should join. We should have reasons. We should have reasons, but this is the reasons we should join together to pronounce Jesus. We fight amongst ourselves all the time. We pull at different ways. We can't have a car can't run with all of its parts going in different directions. If I have a wheel going this way, a wheel going this way, and try to go straight down the road, it's not going to work. And as Christians and as churches and as believers in Jesus Christ, that's what it seems like. Our bodies are pulled apart, going different directions. And we don't have the same focus. We're not reading from the same book, it seems like, because the Bible tells us where we need to go. The Bible tells us where we need to focus. Look at Luke 2:11. As we go to Luke 2:11. Says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Well, one first reason we should unite together is our Savior. Without Jesus, we're nothing. We had the penalty of hell. We had the penalty of our sins that he takes upon us. But he becomes our Savior. Someone that comes in and takes on your penalty of sin, we should have a love for them. Because look, if you look at what he went through, we eternally are going to go through that type of punishment. So that's one goal we should unite together for, is Christians uniting together because he's our Savior. John chapter 1, another reason we should unite together. Chapter 1, verse 32. It says, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode with upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that he is, that this is the Son of God. So he's the Son of God. Our Almighty God, why are we destroying his name by not coming together? We have many different things that pull us apart, like I said, but he's the Son of God. And we can't fight for him. We can't stand up for him. A little roughness happens and people book and go different ways. But he's our Savior. He's our Son of God. And then Romans chapter 3, as we look at Romans chapter 3, and then starting in verse 23, it says, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He's our Redeemer. So now he's our Savior, not just because he's the Son of God, but also because he's our Redeemer. He's redeemed us from our sins. He's redeemed us back to heaven. As long as we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we don't have to spend a penalty in hell. We don't have to spend one moment in hell. We'd be in heaven as soon as our death is upon us. So he's our Redeemer. And then John 3, if we go to John chapter 3, we want to 3:16 and 17, most of us know a lot of that, but it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to save the world. He came to expound upon the laws, but show that the world, he wanted us to be with him. You know, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any infighting. There's not going to be anything here. We're going to be there. As Christians, we get set in our ways, and it's not just we get in our mindset, and this is what we do, and this is what we think. We're not really wanting to listen to anything else. We were going through a devotion with the family yesterday, with my family yesterday, and we talked about Peter and how he was out fishing all night and didn't catch anything, and then Jesus comes along and tells him to cast the net back out there in the deep, and he gets loads of fish, and another boat has to come and help him and pull it up, and it's just loaded with fish. Lots of times we'll try something in our lives, and someone will come back and say, try it. I've already tried that. It doesn't work. We're not open to hear, try it again. Maybe there's something we missed. My dad was famous. I love math, and I was just thinking about that up here when we do Bible drills and that. I raced the tablets because I used to race the calculators when I was in math too. When the calculators first came out, I could get the answer faster than the calculator could punch it in. So, but my dad, I did the math and I do the math and I come up with the wrong answer, and he said, go back through it again, follow the procedure you're supposed to be following. And I do it 3 or 4 times and still not do it. And then all of a sudden something will click. Sometimes we have to redo things, even though we already tried it, because you might have did something wrong in the process. And as Christians, we're sometimes just not persistent enough. Sometimes, I went and talked to that person. They don't like, they deny Christ. I'm not going to talk to them again, because instead of going back again and maybe presenting it in the same way, maybe in a different way, or trying it again, or trying to do it again. But sometimes we just get remiss and we fall back. We fall back into ourselves and say, it's not going to work. And I can't work with that person Lord, you know that person, and our personalities don't clash. I know they're a sister and brother, but I just can't work with them. That just puts a roadblock up right away. And that's why we can't unite as Christians. We can't unite as Christians because we keep putting those roadblocks in our things. We don't want to listen to the things. And as Christians, we got the name Christians, but it was supposed to be made fun of us, right? The name Christian was supposed to make fun of us, you little Christ. But that's what we're supposed to be. We're followers of Christ, so we are little Christ. We're supposed to be out there presenting the word of Christ. We're supposed to be out there showing people the word of Christ. We're supposed to be winning others to Christ by showing them God's word and allowing them to work in their hearts. But sometimes as Christians, we're too busy to do anything else because this is what I got to do, or this is what I got to do, or this is what I got to do. But to come together and work as a common cause is difficult because we can't give up things that are pressing us to do other things. We set in our ways again. We're set in doing what we want to do, and we can't get our minds around, well, I'm supposed to be, this is for Jesus. I need to be doing this for Jesus. I need to be over there helping at the church today because this is for Jesus. I need to be over here witnessing this person because it's for Jesus and getting other people and other people coming in. We fight it. We fight amongst ourselves. Jesus warns us in Mark 8:15. We get a warning from Jesus in Mark 8:15. I'm in chapter 9. So in 8:15 it says, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And he's not talking about the yeast, and he's not talking about the things, but he's talking about their doctrine. And as Christians, I think we get caught up in other doctrine. We get caught up in the doctrine of the world. We get caught up in the doctrine of work. We get caught up in the doctrine of other things and not staying in the doctrine of God's word, which shall lead us and take us through all dark passages. So we get stuck in all this other different doctrine to where when we come with another Christian or we try to work with another Christian, that their doctrine is different than my doctrine, so I can't work with them. No, our doctrine is the Bible. It's God's word, and Jesus is our Savior, and that's who we need to be working on. So as Christians, we have to put aside our cares. And I like praying that in Sunday school, and I pray in church. Sometimes when we come to church, there's a lot of things going on out there. What am I got to get here after church. I got to do this after church. I got this going on. I got this going on. We just need to lay it aside. Let our minds be focused on Christ and let him speak to us. Put all that stuff outside. We're inside the house of the Lord right now. We need to concentrate on the Lord. And that's my prayer. And as we work together and we see that goal and we see that this is all for Jesus Christ, it helps us unite together no matter if this person is shorter or this person is tall, this person is old, this person is too young to work with me. All these different things, all the excuses we can come up with to not unite together. We're begged, as we go to Romans chapter 12, go to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to go right back to there. We're going to finish up here shortly. We're getting hot in here. I'm soaked already. Get down to eat hot food to get soaked some more. So, but Romans chapter 12, we are begged earnestly through Paul. And it says, starting in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And beseech is an endearment word. It means he's begging us. He's begging us to do this, begging us to follow Christ, begging us to do the things that we need to be doing to be acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove which what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm begging you not to be conformed to this world. This, as we talked before, this world is just a temporary place. Our place is in heaven. Our place is with God. We're only here for a short time. Don't be drawn into this world. Renew your mind. He's telling you, strengthen that mind. Read God's scripture every day. Pray every day. Be within God in prayer every day. Renew that mind to where you're a godly person. You're set on God. Everything's going godly ways. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That puts a big thing into us, because sometimes I know more than other people, right? I know that this works. I know this doesn't work. I know, and we're not willing to listen to their ideas on something. Or the famous one is like, you nod your head, you're listening to them, but you're not going to do what they say. So I hear you. But you're not going to do what they say. He's saying, don't think of yourself higher. People come up with great ideas. I know it's the most famous one that's used, but Edison with the light bulb. What do you think would have happened if he just quit working on the light bulb? I failed too many times. I'm not going to keep working on that. His dedication kept him, and that's his drive, was to keep him from doing that light bulb. That's the type of drive we need to have for Jesus Christ. We need to have that same type of drive, focused on Jesus Christ, working together to get the things accomplished. Because now, and then he tells us not to think high. We need to be humble. Because as Jesus Christ came down here, he didn't come down here to rule over the earth. He came down to serve. He came down as a servant. He came down, he's washing feet. He was preaching God's word. He was going around to different things. He was serving us. And that's what we need to be. Jesus, of all people, should put himself above everybody else. But he came down equal to man, and he came down and served man. He should be above everything else. And sometimes that's what happens with us. We get to where we got this pride going on, this pride thing, and we put ourselves above. But he says to humble ourselves. And then this is where why we need to do that. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So we are all together in this together. But we're at times we say we're all together, but we're going in different directions. And as we try to tell people about the Lord, as we try to tell people about different things, they'll see this Christian over here doing this, and then they'll see this Christian over here doing this, and they'll see this Christian over here doing this, and they're all doing different things, and they're not going the same direction. I had a fellow in Johnson Controls when I worked down in Taylor, found out he almost drowned when he was a kid, so he had some electrical problems in his brain. He tried so hard to witness about Jesus Christ. And he would almost become forceful. His mind was there. He wanted to talk about Jesus, but it became forceful, sometimes trying almost into a bullying situation with people. And people, knowing that I was saved, would come and ask me questions. Well, one question they asked me is, he's telling us that the God created man on the eighth day. I got an eighth day. There's only 7 days in a week. So I don't want an eighth day in the week. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I go, no. And I instead of going over to him and condemning him for it, I asked him to show me in Scripture where God created man in the eighth day. And he went to Genesis chapter 2. And he started reading it to me. And I go, you know, this isn't the eighth day. He's describing how he created man. And I didn't go and condemn him for it, and he understood that. And he fell with that. He went different things. And I would go up and calmly correct him on other things. He said speaking in tongues was good. So I asked him, show me in Scripture where he said speaking in tongues was something so the devil couldn't hear you praying to God. I go, show me in Scripture where it says that. And he would take me to a passage, and I'd show him the passage. And I wouldn't belittle him, but sometimes that's what we do. You stupid. That's not in there. Where do you see that? You're so dumb. No, we have to have a tender hand. We have to have a developing hand. And if we're going to work together, we need to be humble enough to understand that people are going to make mistakes. People are going to say wrong things. But we just got to be tender and loving to show them the right way sometimes. And not be convinced that your way is the only right way, because now you're not humble anymore. Now you're going to press on to them that you are right. So as Christians, we need to unite together. I say in... If two opposing parties, like the Herodians and the Pharisees, the world wars we got into with all the different countries, they had different values, but they came in and had a common cause. If people of disliked courses can unite together, why can't Christians unite together since they have Jesus Christ? And that is our common goal, is Jesus Christ. We want to get that message out there. And we talked about one of the religions today, the Mormon religion today, and we talked about how they ran commercials. I know back in the 80s and 90s, they ran commercials. They're up in the, 4 million range? What was that? 15
million worldwide and 4.5
Yeah, 4.5 of 10 church and 50 million. I mean, just amazing. But we think about that, and as Christians, our numbers, as people say we're Christians, we say our whole country is a Christian nation, and we know that's not true. It's just the way the Christian term's labeled. If we had that same drive and same affiliation, same goal to winning people to Christ, look at how much better this world would be focused on Christ. I know we have the different opinions, we have the different things, but we need to stay together as one. If two parties, I believe if two parties or different parties can join together, we as Christians can join together too for the common cause of Jesus Christ. Right. So let's go ahead. We'll finish up with prayer there, and then we'll go through a couple things during the announcement. So we'll go ahead and pray.